So, in this talk, I'd like to share some reflections on my chapter. Like other people, I've been in the order 7.5 years, and I've only ever belonged to one chapter. Although, as you'd expect, not with the same membership. Some people have left because of migration, family commitments, or ill health, and we've had newer people coming in as they've entered the order. However, for order changes, I've largely experienced my chapter as being harmonious and effective. I'm not saying by that things always run smoothly and that we don't ever disagree, but I do sense that where there are disagreements, overall we are many in body but one in heart and mind in a way that respects our differences. Now, why might this be? I thought about this a lot since my trainer asked me to give this talk. And it's hard to say because it feels magical in a sense, but in another it feels quite ordinary and everyday, just a result of getting to know people on a routine basis. People you wouldn't necessarily meet or even form friendship with, and just getting to relate to them in a heartfelt way on the basis of one's highest ideals, which of course is, for us as Buddhists, that's what Sangha is about. Now, I know that is often said, oh, you get to meet people that you often used to meet, but about 25 years, I was a separatist. I was very committed to my relationships with other black women. If you told me that amongst people that I'd be trusting to talk about my sexual relationship, one would be a heterosexual woman who's happily married with children, I would have laughed. So this is the kind of things that I'm trying to get at, really. So I hope that talking about it doesn't take some of the magic out of the chapter experience. So to start with, my chapter consists of 5 women. As I said, we differ a lot in terms of social markers like age, ethnicity and sexuality, our order age, our order experience, as well as in terms of the level of family responsibilities we each hold, and our temperaments. Some of us are more private and introverted, others are more outgoing and demonstrative. One of us works in our movement, another works outside, and the rest of us are unwaged. For several of us, our health is a working ground of our spiritual practice. Our diversity in demographic, temperamental and lifestyle terms is rich and has overall worked for us as a great strength. And in fact, I strongly sense that it is in part because of our considerable diversity that our chapter can be and has been so effective. Now, I don't think the diversity is just in terms of something that is written on the body. I think it is something that we've been in dialogue around, many of us in a chapter, over several years. What does it mean to have a particular social identity? What does it mean for one as a Buddhist? What does it mean to be black and a Buddhist? What does it mean to be a mother and a Buddhist? You know, these are things that we've not just worked out for ourselves privately, but we've brought them into the Sangha context where we have met and been with each other and heard and witnessed each other's processes around those things. So with all this diversity, how have we developed so much common ground? Well, as well as our common spiritual ideas, some of it is down to the fact that I've known several members of our chapter for decades, with one woman being one of the first order members to teach me to meditate over 20 years ago. She is also one of my KMs. 2 of the others I've known since we've been mitras, including being in a study group with one of them over many years. Other links in a chapter are KM relationships and preceptor-preceptee relationships. So we are quite strongly linked, which in some senses is good, but in other senses has serious dangers. It's been vital for the more senior members to feel that they can just be themselves in chapter without having to contend with authority projections because of their, for lack of a better term, roles and status in the order. And of course, that's not just their responsibility. It's up to all of us to remember that and act on that recollection. And on the whole, I feel we do manage to do that. I think part of that is just realising just the way that people can just project all sorts of things onto you as an order member. And I remember a friend of mine saying, I left his case at home because he just wanted for someone to know that there was a real person here and just wanted a break from all the projections. So, of course, with many of us being so close, it can be easy to become a cosy club that's cliquish and exclusive. One of the ways we've worked against that is through realising that the chapter is no one's personal property, but is at the service of the order. If a chapter belongs to anyone or anything, it is to the order. When new members have come, we have first dissolved the old chapter and acknowledged that it is a new chapter, where everything is up for grabs and we are starting from scratch, as opposed to new members having to fit into an established structure. Changes in a chapter can be very much an exercise of realising impermanence and cultivating non-attachment while being deeply engaged in whatever particular structure has been arrived at through consensus within the chapter. With experience, it can also be an experience of a bardo state. On this basis, we redevelop our structures and ways of going about things, which prevents our practices as a chapter from ossifying and thus keeps them fresh and effective. So our current core practices are that we start the meeting by chanting the mantras of our Yidam. And I found that when we do this, I often feel quite grounded and clear. Once I was caring for both of my parents-in-law, and it was very stressful and very demanding, and I wasn't able to get out of the house much. But I always used to feel that when I heard a recitation of the mantras, that I'd come home to where I really belonged, especially if I'd been able to do my sadhana before coming to chapter. After doing reciting our mantras, we make confessions while acknowledging one another's confessions. And this can take time and sensitivity as we each clarify for ourselves and each other what has been happening and how the precepts may or may not be involved. It can lead us to realising that we are at a stage of making an admission rather than confession, or that we are ethically culpable, or that we haven't breached the precepts, but are in a situation with more complex dynamics. We go on to rejoice in merits, mentioning something over the week that has been more positive. Having done this, we move on to the main business of the evening, which may be a more extended reporting in or study. Currently, we've just started working for Zabuti's paper on revering and relying on the Dharma, which should keep us occupied for some time to come. One disturbing thing about some aspects of popular culture is that there is a lot of what purports to be disclosure, especially through what's called reality TV. A social scientist I really admire called Les Back says that for all this, in such a culture, we don't really listen to each other and we need to relearn how to listen. And according to another sociologist I rate called Beverly Skeggs, such disclosure in popular culture can be more about self-abasement or self-aggrandizement. It also gives a false sense of intimacy and can be intimidating. If I confess or bare my soul in what becomes a popularity contest, will I get it wrong or right? Will I be praised or ridiculed and shamed? Through the way we practice communication in our chapter, we are developing our understanding of a more dharmic perspective that navigates away from these hazards. I, for one, am increasingly realising that through confession, I am trying to cultivate an ethical sensitivity based on natural morality and take more responsibility in my life in an appropriate way, not put myself down or conceal my shadow aspects. Over the years, as I have developed in this way, I have found myself gaining psychic strength in ways that are changing me from being a victim of circumstance to becoming an ethical subject who is trying to make her life a work of art in the light of her Yidam Green Tara. Now, one example of this came when I was thinking of applying for a job. I had been on wage for some time, and when I saw the post, I asked my chapter and preceptor what they thought of me going for it. I didn't just ask them, I sent them the job description, I sent them the details and what it involved as well. My chapter gave me very full feedback of what the possible implications of me doing it might be and encouraged me to apply, so I started completing the form. As I did, I faced all my old maras. How instead of just lying down and getting depressed, I drafted the form, revised it to be more positive in the light of feedback received from friends and then sent it off. The following week, I acknowledged to my chapter that I had been tempted to see myself in terms of wrong self-views, rather than as someone who had been sincerely and consistently trying to change herself in the light of a Dharma for over 20 years and to good effect. I do not think I would have taken this very practical action were it not for my chapter encouraging me to go along with what is best in myself. My chapter did not take on a therapeutic role in this context, rather they mirrored back to me what my true purpose in life is, that is to go for refuge more deeply, and in that way affirmed my identity and the strengths I have acquired as a Dharma practitioner. Again, in terms of reporting in, my chapter has been supportive and empowering, encouraging me through the difficult process of writing up my PhD and preparing for my viva, and collectively rejoicing in my graduation photos, which included my partner and friend Vindital Shri. They've been there for me in very practical ways when I've experienced ill health, in my role as a carer to my parents-in-law, and my current process of losing both my in-laws, who were as parents to me. I have also often had my views challenged, sometimes quite forthrightly. Other times the challenge has been more subtle, but it's definitely been there. So for instance, when I was recently confessing my anxieties about this government's plans to change the benefit systems, another chapter member explained to me that others were in the same boat and had similar worries in the movement. Also, I was gently told that I had a lot going for me and that I could write an article about what has been proposed and why it is so unjust, which many people couldn't do. In this way, my self-doubts and fears were gently challenged and I was reminded of the strength that I do have. To sum up, I think the reasons why up to now there is so much to rejoice in my chapter come down to commitment to authenticity and seeing what is best in each other, taking personal responsibility, mutual respect and mindfulness of ourselves and each other. Of course, the shadow aspects come in, but the descent into history that Attila suggested is such an important part of spiritual life happens on the basis of our common vision and what we value most, that is the three jewels. I think this commitment is expressed by our recitation of our Yidam's mantras at the start of our meetings. And our descent into the underworld doesn't mean that we don't see the value and strengths in the light in ourselves and one another. Trying to be more mindful and to increasingly take responsibility for our experiences of life enhances the ethical sensitivity that we bring to a practice of confession and communication generally. Mutual respect builds trust so that we sense that even when we are being critical, we are being so on a loving rather than destructive basis. This mutual respect and commitment to genuinely seeing what the best is in each other is also empowering and builds confidence in ourselves and the chapters of spiritual working ground. It helps us to be more authentic, and overall our chapter is, I think, enabling us to have more of a taste of genuine freedom and joy as we endeavour to practice the Dharma in our respective contexts and strive to make the three jewels shine in our everyday lives.